Alec and Caroline, I was wondering what was the right passage. So we're going to talk about the death of Lazarus. John chapter 11. I hope this will pick up in a minute. John chapter 11. And let me just nip through some verses. I just want you to get the background story of the story of the death of Lazarus. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And then verse 3. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And picking it up from verse 7 into 8. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you're going back there?" And obviously he wants to go back because he's got this message that Lazarus is sick and his sisters, Mary and Martha, are struggling with this. And then let's pick it up from verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? "Yes, Lord," she told him, "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." And after she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary aside. "The teacher is here," she said, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Exactly the same thing her sister had said. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him?" But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. "Take away the stone," he said. "But Lord," said Martha, the sister of the dead man, "by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days." Then Jesus said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. We have another reading, but we'll just skip that, John, if that's okay, because I will mention it in a minute. Thank you. In the passage that we've just read there, the point of choosing that passage is I want to make the point that... Oh, sorry, there's no PowerPoint for this. I've just remembered. I want to make the point that Jesus was such a friend to Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. A dear friend to that family. First of all, Jesus is away, not in the area, and news comes to him. The one you love is sick. That's Lazarus. And so at that point, Jesus prepares to go back to Judea. He feels his response is he needs to go back and be with the family that he loves so much. And the disciples are worried about this decision, because the last time when Jesus was in Judea, in that area, the Jews had tried to stone him for what he was saying. And they're saying, Jesus, I don't think we should be going back. And Jesus is saying, look, these are my friends. We're going back. And so he's prepared to face whatever danger to be with Lazarus' family. And I just want to make the point that Jesus will go into danger in order to be there for his friends. And Alec and Caroline, that's exactly what he has done for you. He has come to this broken earth to show his commitment to you, to show his love to you, and to bring you home to him. Jesus' unwavering commitment to be with his friends. So Jesus makes this dangerous journey, and when he gets there, Lazarus has already been dead for 4 days. But Jesus wants to be with the sisters, with Mary and Martha in their pain. He wants to sit with them. He wants to support them. And Mary, when she meets him, is weeping with the pain of the loss of her brother. And Jesus responds, when Jesus saw her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit. And then it says, Jesus wept. Jesus was weeping over the pain that death in a family was causing these sisters, Mary and Martha. And Jesus' response was, I hate the pain that death causes. And so he was determined to do something about it, as only he could. And this amazing miracle happens, the raising of Lazarus from the dead, in order that this family could be reunited. But of course, that is only a foretaste of what Jesus was going to go on to achieve, because he hates the pain that death causes, the separation that death causes. He hates it. And his ultimate solution was not what he did with Lazarus, not to give a family a few more extra years together on this earth. His solution was going to happen on the cross, where he was going to defeat the curse of sin. And he was going to go on to achieve forgiveness for all. He was going to go and defeat the curse of sin, which is separation from God forever. He was going to break that in order that the curse of the pain that death causes in separation amongst us, that would never have to be an issue the other side of eternity. He was going to defeat the curse of separation for us by his victory on the cross. That one day we will be reunited with God forever. And one day we will be reunited with our brothers and sisters in Christ forever. And he is saying, I hate the pain that death causes. And what I will do for this family, for Lazarus, is just a foretaste of what I will do for my children for all eternity. And he says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. So this story is a story of compassion and of concern that Jesus has for his friends. That he wants to break the pain that death and separation causes. That's Jesus' heart for his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus. That's how he feels about his friends. I want to just take you four chapters on, and I want to read something amazing to you. Just a short while later, Jesus is saying this. John chapter 15, and I'll read verses 14 to 15. You've seen what Jesus' heart is for his friends. This is what he goes on to say. John 15, 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. The amazing thing that we discover is that Jesus is saying that this wonderful friendship that he offers is not just for the select few. Those few disciples that were around him when he was on this earth, he is saying, if you love me, if you follow me, if you obey me, you are my friend. And I am as committed to you as to any friend. That wonderful friendship and compassion that Jesus gives is for you. That's why I wanted to choose that passage. He came to this earth. He suffered. He died. Alec and Caroline, you were in his mind when he did this. You are part of the reason for that. In order to give you life in all of its fullness for all eternity. That's how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. The Lord laid on him the wrongdoing of us all. He's your friend. He chose to be your friend. He chose you. Now, your baptism is a testimony, symbolic, of what he has done for you and of what he means to you. And I pray that as you come out the waters of baptism, you will be ever so aware that God the Father smiles over you, that God the Son is delighted in you, and that God the Spirit is present here. And that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit embrace you, saying, "My friends." Alec and Caroline, make your life a testimony of that friendship. Because friendship isn't just a one-way thing. It's not just how God feels about us. It's how we feel about him too. And that we are delighted to respond in love to him, and he's delighted when we do. So may your testimony be a life of grateful, thankful service to your Father, to your brother, to your friend, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are my friends, Jesus says, if you do what I command. I'll tell you something. As you come out that water today, heaven is rejoicing. May we rejoice with heaven. I'm going to do something that we always do at a baptism, and then we're going to invite Alec and Caroline up. I'm just going to explain. There are people here, I reckon there'll be people here who have never seen what some people call an adult baptism. We would call a believer's baptism. And it's important that you know why we do what we do. So before you are baptized, let me explain exactly what's happening. Baptism is symbolic of what has already happened in your life. You don't become a Christian in these waters, but you are declaring, we have become Christians, we are now Christians, and this is symbolic of the journey that we've been on. So it's a public declaration of what Christ, what God has already done in your life. So, what is baptism? Well, the first thing is to see it as a bath, and it is pretty much like a big bath. Acts 22:16 says, "Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name." Gillian, everyone gets really anxious at this stage in your pregnancy when you get up and walk out, by the way. And I'm thinking, your husband's not even followed you out there. He's pretty chilled, about all this. Good. Thank you. We can all relax. If you just wait a few minutes, there's a birthing pool here. Right, back to the sermon. See it as a bath. Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away, calling on his name. And it is only through Christ that you are able to be cleansed, forgiven. And baptism is a symbol of that, that you are saying, as I go into the water, it's like being washed. I've been cleaned. Christ has taken all the baggage, all the stuff, all the selfishness, all the bits in my life that were me-centered rather than God-centered, and that were putting a barrier between me and God. Jesus has offered on the cross to take them, and I have given them to him, and it leaves me with the righteousness of God because Christ has taken all the unrighteousness. So I've been cleansed. That's the first symbolism of a baptism. Second thing is, we're going to lower you into the water. And it is symbolic of a grave. It is symbolic of a death. Laying you down into the ground. Romans 6 says this. All of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried with him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we too may live a new life. So what is also symbolic of today is that you get lowered down into the water. And that is a statement, I have died. I have died to my old life. I have died to the life where I was on the throne, where I was in command, where I was doing my own thing, where I was following my own way. But the good news is, we're not going to keep you there. And you're going to rise again. And as you rise again, it is a statement. I have risen to a new life. I have died to the old way of life. And I have risen to a new life where Christ is my King, where Christ is my Lord, where he sits on the throne of my life, where he is the one that I follow rather than asking him to follow anything I want to do. I now want to follow what he wants me to do. He is my Lord. He is my King. I have new life in Christ. And I will be with him forever. So it symbolizes I've been cleansed. I've died to my old way of life. I've risen to a new life in Christ. And the third thing that baptism symbolizes. Well, you will come out of the water, and we're not going to ask you to leave the water quickly. You will stand there and you will be dripping wet. And the water will be pouring off you. And that is a symbol of something as well. It is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that when we give our lives to him, God's Spirit will come and live within us. And we're told that that is a cleansing, refreshing sense of the presence of God. And actually, as you hear Alex's testimony, you'll hear something of what that's like to receive the Holy Spirit. And Jesus described the presence of God within us. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, he said it is like streams of living water flowing within. That's John chapter 7. And after baptism, as you stand there with the water pouring off you on the outside, that is symbolic of what God is doing by his Spirit on the inside. Streams of living water, refreshing. Cleansing your life. So that's what baptism is. It's symbolic of what God does in our lives when we come to him through Christ. He cleanses us. He gives us new life. He gives us his presence with us forever. But in addition to all of that, baptism is simply this. It is a public statement. Alec, Caroline, you've invited not just the church family here at Westwood, you've invited friends, you've invited family. Because it is a public statement. It is a public statement that having discovered this, having discovered that Christ cleanses me, forgives me, gives me new life, gives me his presence, gives me new hope, having discovered that he does all this for me, I want to state publicly that I am unashamed to call myself a follower of Jesus. And that's what baptism is. It is a declaration of unashamed commitment to Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation for everyone who believes. In his own baptism, Jesus was unashamed to identify himself with us. So we are saying at my baptism, how can I do anything other than say, not only am I unashamed, I am proud to call myself part of the family of Jesus. So that's what's happening at the baptism. That's what it symbolizes. That's what it's about. And that's what Alec and Caroline are wanting to declare to you. So I'm going to invite you up, And I want you to know, I think some people come to the baptism of friends at a Baptist church and they think, oh, well, this is the ritual they have to go through to become part of this church. It is not about that. It is not about something that we just do as, come up. It's not about something that we do as a requirement. It is something we do because it is very personal to each individual that does it. And it is not like we are saying, oh, well, you have to do that to be part of us. These two are saying, I can't wait to do this because this matters to me and my relationship with Jesus. And that's what you're going to hear about now.
And it's wonderful to be here all together in the presence of God. Today I'm going to share my testimony with you, and it's all about what God has done for me. I have always been a believer and went to church and had a strong faith, but I had come to realise that my obedience to Christ was sadly lacking, which caused me considerable feelings of guilt, and I did not feel worthy. Which brings me to John chapter 9, verse 25. I was blind, but now I see. Through the Alpha course, prayer meetings and home groups with fellowship of my new church, there is a deep change in my relationship with Jesus and my yearning to feel close to him and to know that he is my Saviour, who is always there for me and fills me full of grace. As in Revelations 3, chapter 20, I opened the door and I let him in. And I have to say, it has brought me great joy and inner peace, of which I could never have imagined, and I know that I am a child of God. And I want to share the good news with everyone I meet. It is wonderful to share my baptism with my family and friends, and I thank you all for coming. A special thanks goes to my Christian family within the church who have welcomed me into the fold, showed me love and kindness, and are helping to nourish my faith, sharing in worship and prayer as Christians together. I feel a very close bond and look forward to my new Christian life. Sorry, I'm a bit nervous, shaking here. I want to mention my husband, who has recently gone through his own conversion to Christianity. Together we are walking on our new path with Jesus, and it is the most wonderful feeling. All of us can feel lost. Life brings great ups and downs, and there have been many in my own life. But I have Jesus in my heart and my soul, showing me the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.
Morning, everybody.
Morning.
This is a bit of my testimony. I was brought up in a close family with three sisters who never attended church. I grew up not knowing much about Jesus or the church, apart from the Lord's Prayer that I learned during my school years. Up until about 4 years ago, most of my adult life was normal, until my dad died. After that, I felt as if I was lost my way, was angry, had no motivation, questioned everything and everyone. I was asked to attend an Alpha course, and I was sceptical at first, convinced it was not for me. But for some reason, I continued to keep going, not knowing why. It came to the away day. At the end of the day, there was an opportunity to have someone pray for you. When mostly everyone had finished, I went over and sat down beside a couple of Alpha leaders, and they began to pray for me. As I sat listening, I was overcome with emotion, burst into uncontrollable tears, as I felt a rush of heat surging through my body, which I had never felt in my whole life. As in Acts 13:52, I was filled with the Holy Spirit. Ever since Jesus has come into my life, my eyes have been opened. I'm not perfect, but I am a different person. I would like to thank my new Christian family in the church, all the support and guidance over the last year. I'd also like to thank my family and friends for coming along. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me. You are my Saviour, my strength, and my God. Amen.
So if you were in any doubt, this is deeply personal. And we're going to prepare for the baptism now. We're going to get shoes and socks off. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song. Can I just explain something else? Sorry, do start. Carry on. We're going to have the baptisms. The song you're going to sing now is a song that Alec has particularly asked for. I would ask you to listen to the words, because these are words that Alec says are his story. It's a Casting Crowns song, Who Am I? We're going to have the baptisms, and immediately after the second of the baptisms, we're going to all stand and burst into a song, which is the song that Caroline has chosen, and will not be able to sing it without crying, so you have to sing it for her. So that's the program. Bless us all, and bless you too, as we do this now. Thank you.
Let's stand together.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name?
For those of you who don't normally come to this church and maybe know who we are, I'm Mark, the pastor of the church. This is Irene, a family and community pastor. And I think maybe what we'll do is I'll do the vows for Alec and we'll get you to do the vows for Caroline. You'll need your glasses. Where have you put your glasses? Mark up there. Alec, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
And Alec, do you recognize your need of Jesus Christ for cleansing and forgiveness?
I do.
And Alec, do you confess Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, whose ways you desire to follow always?
I do.
And Alec, will you seek to live and serve Jesus Christ within the support and fellowship of his church?
I will.
Alec, upon your profession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Caroline, do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
I do.
Do you recognize your need of Jesus Christ for cleansing and for forgiveness?
I do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior, whose ways you desire to follow always?
I do.
Will you seek to live and serve Jesus Christ within the support and fellowship of his church?
I will.
Upon your confession of faith, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
We're going to sing together.